Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
The Bird Show.
Both shows, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday.
Do you think like it ain't meant to win? Shake that girl. I take you to the candy shop.
50, big day for him today. Big day for him today. He's got Get Rich or Die Trying coming out. You're seeing the posters all over the place. There's a soundtrack that goes along with it also. I think he was just nominated for a whole bunch of Vibe Awards also. 50's feeling pretty good about 50 right now. 50, you there?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Oh, man, everything's good.
First thing we got to ask you is, are you East Coast right now or are you West Coast?
East Coast.
Okay, so it's 9 o'clock to you, because I know, like, if it was on the West Coast and it was 6 o'clock your time, then I got to ask you the remedial questions.
You're a little more awake right now,
that's
right?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm up.
All right. Hey, 50, before we get into some of the stuff that you've got your hands into right now, I want to get a professional opinion from you.
Okay.
And I want to tell you where I'm going with this. Dallas Austin here, you know Dallas Austin, big-time producer here in Atlanta, right? I mean, he's worked with everybody. This guy's the man, right?
Yeah.
Well, the mayor of Atlanta has assigned him a really tough job, and that is to write an anthem for the city of Atlanta.
Wow.
So this is a song that is supposed to represent all 4.5 million people here, all walks, lives, all communities and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Now, this guy is a genius, obviously, but it's a pretty tough order.
That's a tough, right? I think they should have took the what's the name? The it's a new record Ludacris gonna put out. Is it Georgia.
From Ludacris?
Ray Charles.
From Ludacris? Because everybody was thinking that Jermaine.
I think it's his group.
From Luda's group. I'm in the dark. I do want to say
you
this.
You haven't heard the record?
Uh-uh. I haven't heard that song.
Got a sample from Ray Charles in there. It Georgia.
I think, maybe.
I haven't heard that.
I don't know if I've heard that version, yeah.
You know what I want to do, though, is I want to play, like, the 30-second kind of piece of audio that we have of the Dallas Austin anthem for you and, like, get your professional opinion on it.
All right.
Because we've played it the last couple of days, and I'm bummed for Dallas, but, you know, like, Atlanta's, like, not embracing it. So let me play it for you. Tell me what you think, all right? At this point, that's all of the song that we have.
Wow.
Now, from a professional standpoint, I mean, you're in the industry. What do you think?
It sounds like a great record. It sounds like a regular party record, though.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like an anthem.
See, I think that's what people are getting all jacked up about. Like, it's a good...
I think that, you know... There was so much, because Atlanta's trying to do a whole new branding thing, so it's not just an anthem, that we have a new logo, and it's just, you know, trying to get more business into the city of Atlanta, and I just think that it was a lot of pressure on Dallas to come up with something, and I think we were already told something was coming, so I think our expectation was up, and so it's almost like 50 just said, like, I guess we expected it to be different than what it ended up being.
Right. Like, I mean, when you say anthem, I'm thinking... Along Star Spangled Banner.
Wow. Oh.
Something a little bit more traditional.
Yeah.
That's a tough order. Like, if a mayor of a city comes to you and says, I want you to make a song that represents the whole
New
city.
York, they would never come to me.
they might.
They don't want to hear what you have to say?
Nah. They mad the kids listen.
That's a tough order. It's a really tough order. But we just wanted to throw that by you to see, like, somebody in the industry to see what they thought about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's tough. It's a tough order. Well, let's talk about Get Rich or Die Trying here. A little bit of controversy starting to come out about it already, but you're used to handling this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday, the L.A. community leaders were coming out and saying they were repulsed by your movie's posters, Get Rich or Die Trying, because of the guns on the posters. How do you respond to all that?
I mean, it's a gun on the poster. How often have you seen a gun used for marketing for a film?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go into local Blockbusters or wherever we can rent DVDs or movies, you're going to see it probably more than you see people's faces.
Right.
You know, these are standards that are placed on music as an art form that aren't placed on any other form of entertainment. And because I'm coming from music to film, they still want to feel like it's a problem, like, you know, say things about it. But, you know, The Rock got something coming out right now with a huge gun on the cover. The Matrix.
Doom? Talking about Doom?
Yeah. So many different things that they come out with that have guns in it. Everybody's saw guns before on the advertisement for a film.
So you think the reason why they're focusing on you is because you're trying to go from music to movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have a problem with... Think about it. When the last time you seen a gun on the cover of a CD, it was being distributed by a major company. That was probably 97, with KRS-One, Criminal Minded. You know what I mean? Like, for me, you have to do that art. You have to put that art inside the packaging.
Do you think that there is a social responsibility in art and in your music? I mean, do you feel a responsibility to your fan base? We sort of debate that on this show a lot with different artists.
Yeah, I do, but you know what? I write a music that's a reflection of the environment that I come from.
Mm-hmm.
Our responsibility is to write the true perspective of what goes on there. See, they pick a situation, probably a day, to put in the newspaper that goes on where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
When there's several situations that go on, like, when they speak about me being shot 9 times, that has been beaten into the heads of the general public through different media outlets and other publications because the journalists are infatuated with it.
Uh-huh.
Trust me, I wouldn't ask to talk about that if they didn't ask me those questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know people who've been through more. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you look at their actual format, like for entertainment, period. In the history of entertainment, they build entertainment in order to destroy them for the sake of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So as I start to get to a point where I don't even feel like I'm peaking, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It starts to be new obstacles constantly.
Is there more pressure on starting out? Or is it pressure when, you know, like you said, they think you're peaking. Is there more pressure now that you're successful and they're just finding a way to knock you off the top of the mountain?
Well, I think that's difficult, you know, because you have other things going on when your pressure is there with you coming out. You know, like your financial problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that pressure is probably more than when you're at, you know, in a good space. And everything else is there, but people just want to see you not do well.
Mm-hmm. What is like, 50, I got to ask you this question, because it always seems like there's like something. Like, you got to be looking over your shoulder. It seems to me like in just about every corner of your world, you know, like, if it's not the media, then it's other artists that are taking shots at you. Like, what do you see could be the most dangerous thing to your empire already? Like, what's the thing that you fear? Do you fear anything?
Losing focus, that's all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For me, can't nobody do nothing to me to hurt my situation outside of myself. And that's me not being focused and creating the best possible product. You know what I mean? As far as going in to make music for a new album, I believe that they didn't really want to see this record do as well as the last one. And to date, I have the best-selling album this year.
And why do you think that is?
Because I did a good job, man. I sat there. I worked on my project. I know better than to stop working now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just relaxed for a little bit while I was putting out Lloyd Banks' album and Young Buck's record. I just kind of sat back. And then I started creating again. And I felt all this new pressure because, you know, there's a shadow of doubt cast over artists between each project he releases, regardlessly. If you're dealing with the general public, and I didn't understand it, I show nothing but consistency having my album sell 11 million records. Banks sell, Beg for Mercy, our group album sold 3.5. Banks sold 2. Bucks sold 1.5. Didn't have Game record come out. and be a success and still have people doubt me. They didn't doubt whether I could make a good record. They said, do you think you can do it again? Mm-hmm. Because I had so much success my first album. And at the end of the day, you know, I realized that they only doubt me because generally people in the public don't believe in themselves. Mm-hmm. So that has to happen. It's the telephone game. As they, one person asks the other one, you think you're going to do it again? And then that starts to become the move.
50, is some of this starting to beat you down a little bit? Because as I was reading some interviews that you've done recently on the internet, I started to catch this reoccurring theme like, maybe I'm going to head over to Europe for a little while. Maybe I'm going to take myself out of the U.S. public eye.
It, you know what? For a moment, like after the release of The Massacre, I was ready to go out of the country. Because I have more fun performing outside of the United States than I do before.
Really? Why?
Because people overseas, they have to make a decision to enjoy hip hop as an art form. They have to search for it. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. what it is a lot of the people that come see me, my venues is as exactly the same size. I do 30,000 people a night while I'm overseas. So while I'm outside of the country, I got an audience of people. Some of them don't even speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Watch my music break the language barrier. They're that excited about being in the actual environment and why everything's going on that they come out and the energy level is higher. They still can view things from a fan perspective because they're not that personal with it. In the U.S., everybody feels like they have what it takes, so they watch from a critic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't have actual major record label deal. The homeboy down the block got his own studio in the basement, and he feels like he's an independent record company.
Now, this is almost like a double-edged sword, because if all rappers and hip-hop artists had your attitude and moved to Europe, then Europeans would start to develop the same attitudes as Americans, and you'd just be traveling all over the world trying to find a new audience.
Yeah, but the significance of my situation is I can go over there and have the same venues. A lot of artists don't go overseas a lot because they take a pay cut. They're not as popular over there.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up in smaller venues and get less money for performance.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't go out there. But in my case, and them is King Kong out there. Like, he's the biggest. When we go out there together, the 30,000 people venues turn into 80,000. We're on the soccer field.
Wow.
I want to talk about some of these artists, 50, that I don't know if you want to call it in competition with, but just that are in the same genre, same format. Because I read yesterday that at one point you had said Kanye is successful because of you.
Yeah.
Why is that?
See, what I was saying is, even the resistance that I'm getting towards being on a poster with a gun, like the advertisement of a film with a gun, you know how often you've seen these things. They're making a decision to try and go against what I'm writing creatively.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, having my album come out the first time, I outperformed everybody as far as show dates. I performed 300 shows in 365 days on Get Rich or Die Trying. Away from that, my album sold 11 million copies. I outsold everybody that came out the year that I came out. And still, I was overlooked as Best New Artist. So my music outperformed everybody, but they decided not to give me Best New Artist at the Grammy. Now, Kanye West, when he came right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's non-confrontational.
He's more palatable.
Yeah, it's easier for, like, if you look, you'll see him on the cover of Time Magazine, mm-hmm. not because his success as a musician is placing him there, but it's an easier go. We can pick this and go. His theme is College Dropout.
But his song was about Jesus and not about Get Rich or Die Trying. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, regardless, the overall theme is my trophies come. They usually have signatures under them. They check.
Right.
You feel what I mean? And these people make decisions on, that's politics, that's all. You know, and I don't like to get involved with it much. You know, but I say what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Same way Kanye West will say exactly what he feels. I actually like him for the things that he say.
So is that frustrating for you, not to take home these awards you feel like you've earned?
It's not frustrating. You know what? I only care about the shows that are actually based on the performance of the music.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm in a financial space where I'm content with where I'm at. Ambition is not a learned behavior. I think it's a part of a person's character. And for me, what makes me happy is creating a new goal and accomplishing it. Mm-hmm. So I'll continue to work. It may not appear that I'm happy with where I'm at because I'll constantly work on something new. If this is what makes me happy. But I am content. I really look at the sound scan as an indication of how many people I'm reaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are the Vibe Awards one of these awards that you really feel are credible that you'd like to take home?
Billboard is. Billboard Awards are based on the actual performance of the music.
Mm-hmm. So it's not an opinion. These are based on facts. These are based on stats. These are based on money, and that's what you're about.
That's right. The Billboard and ASCAP. And I've been ASCAP Writer of the Year for, you know, I didn't get it 1 year because I didn't have a record out.
Mm-hmm. How about Get Rich or Die Trying? Now, the movie, this has got to fire you up because now, I mean, if there's one thing you've told us in the couple of times that we've talked now is that you're always looking to kind of try to stretch yourself, go to the next level, mm-hmm. and now we're looking at acting.
Yep.
So how important is it to you now for this movie to be financially successful?
Oh, man, it's important for me, for the people to go out and enjoy the film. I actually took a pay cut making this film. If I was torn for the 3.5 months that I was on a movie set in Toronto shooting it, I would have made more money. It's not even about that. For me, it's an opportunity to draw my base closer to me.
Mm-hmm.
For them to understand some of my experiences. They learn more about my past. They'll understand why I'm making the decisions I'm making in the future,
mm-hmm.
which will make me just more entertaining to them, period.
So the movie really, you look at the movie more as a marketing tool to sell the music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is loosely based on your life?
Yes.
Okay.
How loose?
It's about 75% factual.
Okay.
Does and then, you know, they use the tools in Grossman. In some situations, they expand. In others, they minimize it.
Does it reflect any of your childhood? We know your mom passed when you were fairly young. Is that addressed in the film?
Yeah.
Do you have memories of her?
Yeah. When I was 8, like, my mom used to come around and stuff.
Is there anything that you wanted to put in this movie that the movie company said, oh, no, that's never going to fly?
You know what? They let me make the changes. I made a lot of changes early with Terry Winters, the guy who came out to compile information and create the screenplay for Get Rich or Die Trying.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got what I wanted early, and then I stopped asking for everything else. I just relaxed because I got the overall story. I was comfortable with it. And then I was able to get with Jim Sheridan. I had a great director on this film. You know, and as me and him linked up, I just sat in the back seat. I let him take control. You know, I mean, it's my first experience being on a film set, and I wanted to learn as much as possible. So I was paying really close attention to everything that was going on. Wow.
What'd you learn while you were on that movie set? You said you were learning a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, man. My comfortability with being in front of the camera is probably 100 times more than you than before. See, when you're in front of the camera doing music videos, you're usually performing into camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing on film.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
a good point.
Movie comes out, is it this week?
The movie will be out November 9th.
November 9th. And soundtrack?
Soundtrack November 8th. I'm excited about that. I got a chance to write the soundtrack while I was making the film in between. And like, there's a scene in the film where the young version of my character, Marcus, is looking in the store at a pair of sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I created the concept for the song Window Shopper. I just wrote it from 50 Cent perspective opposed to the actual character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that helped in the writing of the soundtrack. I mean, if you're shooting this movie and you're writing music for it at the same time, that's got to help.
Well, you know what? At some points it did. Some points it got confusing because it's difficult to write for scenes in a film because you have all of the information about the film in your head because you read the entire script. So you start giving up things that are going to happen next before they actually happen, so you got to go back and rewrite
it. That does make sense. That could be all confusing.
You know, hey.
And again, the movie coming out November 9th, soundtrack November 8th, correct?
Yeah. Got my new sneaker through RBK, the G63. It'll be in stores November 10th. My video game, Bulletproof, through Universal Indy, comes out November 15th. G-Unit Watches hit stores November 22nd. Got a lot of things going on.
I always wonder, how much input do you really have in a shoe? Like, you can't know much about shoes.
I know what I like. I keep telling them what, and they keep going back until I'm happy with the shoe. Mm-hmm. See, my shoes have a more classic vibe. You see the new shoes that out kind of look like space shoes.
Mm-hmm.
They're going towards, like, all the new basketball shoes, they use patent leather and these silvers and all this other stuff. I don't really with all of that. You know, so I haven't told my shoes all the way down. I go back to something that will have a kind of classic vibe, but a new twist to it.
We're going
to
come out the same thing. We got to learn a little bit of marketing from 50 here. We're coming out with a Burt Show shoe.
I like it.
You wait for it.
Burt Show shoe?
Yeah, Burt Show shoe, man. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to start designing this thing. All right, dude. All right, 50. Good talking to you, man. Good luck with everything. Good luck with the soundtrack. Good luck with the movie. And good luck with the other 914 projects you got your hands in, man.
All right.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, peace.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Burt Show.
In the meantime, let's get Michelle on. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Burt Show.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. When producer Tracy told us that you emailed her last week, we're like, okay, this cannot be real. No guy can be this clueless, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you detail for everybody the history, what's going on now, his request, why he's got you in a corner?
Okay, a little bit of history. We were, of course, obviously married. We were married for about 7 years, and things just didn't work out between us. I separated, and I left him, and so I went to get the divorce, everything. Well, about 2 months later, you know, since we've been separated, he goes and finds himself a girlfriend, which is, you know, it threw me off, and I thought, okay, well, I don't want to get back with a guy. Well, to top it off, she was pregnant with somebody else's child, so that made me feel really good. And she was like 20, so made me feel really good and confident. So,
How old is your ex-husband?
He is 31.
All right,
so he got himself a classy girl.
Yes, very nice, sweet high school girl. So, which is fine. So, and then they, you know, separate. Finally, I get him to sign the divorce papers, and we've been divorced for about a year. And he just started dating a new girl a couple months ago. And I've met her once. She seems really nice, really young. And she's good to my kids because we both have two children together. And he gave me a call last week and said, asked if I still had my wedding ring. I said, yes, I do. He says, well, I was wondering if I could have it. I said, okay, what for? He says, oh, well, you know, I'd like to have it. And having a conversation with him is like pulling teeth. I said, okay, what for? Well, for decoration. For who? Well, I want to give it to my girlfriend.
Unbelievable.
I said, why? Well, you know, we love each other, and we want to get married, and I just don't have the money to go out and get a wedding ring right now, and I want to give it to her for Christmas.
Wow.
I said, well, that's kind of crappy to give, and here I am giving him advice. That's kind of crappy to give your girlfriend, your ex-wife's ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you can't give her a wedding ring as an engagement ring because both of the bands are welded together. I said, you can't do that. He said, oh, well, I'll get that unwelded. I said, well, but you can't do that. He said, well, she doesn't have to know. And I said, well, your kids will bust you because your kids know what it looks like. Oh, no, they won't.
Michelle, I'm just surprised you even had that much of a discussion with him. Yeah. Like, no.
A lot of times I find myself giving him advice on how to treat his girlfriend. Yeah.
Well, that's your decision to do that. I'm are you seriously considering giving him that ring?
I said, you know, I don't know. I've got to think about it. I said, I've got a meeting I got to go into, which I did. And I said, you know, I'll give you a call later. I'll give you a couple of days. Well, he calls me back and leaves me a message and says, oh, you must think I'm some kind of moron. I just want the diamond, and I'll go and reset it myself. But like, yet, the whole conversation that we had earlier, he was telling me he didn't have a diamond. He needed the whole entire ring. But now he's telling me he's got extra money to go get it reset.
Is there a reason why you just did not say, no, this is ridiculous, move on?
Yes, there is a reason why. Like I said, when we first got divorced, it was about a nine-month period before I was able to get him to sign the divorce paperwork. And at that time, he was a certain amount of money, arrearage, and child support, because I had to beg him to pay child support.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said, okay, well, we can get child support and the extra amount taken out of his check automatically, and when that amount is paid off, it'll stop. Well, it didn't stop. It just kept going and going. And, of course, he was making phone calls to me every month saying, you owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me this. You need to get this money back to me. And honestly, I wasn't in a hurry to get it back to him because I just didn't feel like I needed to do him any favors. So he finally got an attorney and got an attorney to get that stopped. Now I owe him money from the overpayment that he was paying me.
How much do you owe?
About $1,300.
And is he holding that $1,300 saying, look, if you give me the ring or you give me the diamond, then we'll clear the record?
Yes. He says, I tell you what, he says, this is my proposal. If you give me the wedding ring, I'll say we're even, we're square. You don't owe me a dime. And I'll even go as far as to give you back the money you've already paid me, which is about $150. I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I said, now, at first I was trying to talk him out of it because I thought, you know, I wanted to keep the ring just for sentimental reasons, just for my children. I didn't want to keep it because, you know, I love him and all that kind of stuff. No, I wanted to keep it for my children, because I kept all of my wedding pictures, my wedding album, for my kids, so my kids can see this, because my parents didn't do that. When my parents got a divorce, my mom went through the house and just started burning stuff and throwing stuff away.
Yeah.
I wanted to keep this for my children. I mean, granted, they're only 4 and 5. They don't plan on getting married next month, but I wanted to keep it for them.
I can understand that.
Sure. All right, 404-741-1005.
So you're going to get this agreement in writing?
I've discussed this with quite a few girlfriends, and they all, of course, immediately started laughing. And then they said, well, yeah, I would get the get it in writing, and if you do decide to give him the ring, and get all your money up front before you give him anything.
Now, for you personally in that ring, I mean, is it a symbol to you of, like, where you were in your life at one point? Is it something that if you give away, like, it really wouldn't matter to you? I mean, just from your end, because from his end, it's ridiculous to me. And from the girlfriend's end, if she ever finds out that diamond came from your ring, she's going to be livid. But I'm just wondering, just to get this guy off of your back, get out of the debt, does the ring mean that much to you?
Honestly, that was my first wedding, first marriage. It was my second engagement ring that I've ever received in my entire life. I loved it. It was beautiful, but I am willing to give it up if it means getting rid of a debt,
now,
especially owed to him.
Can he make sure that that is put in writing for you? Because you don't want to... He can't.
I would probably have to take care of that because I know he would not think that far ahead to get it in writing.
Okay.
Because I like the idea of it getting in writing because you have proof that it happened.
Yeah, he doesn't sound like he's such a great soldier here that anything can happen.
He would be that type of person, you know, next year I'll be getting a phone call saying, hey, what about all that money you owe me?
Well, no, and also the fact that of this ridiculous exchange that actually took place, that it is documented that he asked that of you and that you gave it to him so that his future wife will find out someday.
Oh, that's true,
yeah.
Too, yeah.
That'll probably be another phone call to you guys next year.
We'll be waiting. Good morning, Kim. You're on The Burt Show, all the hits, Q100.
Hey, guys. I just want to know, do you have a daughter? Does she have a daughter or sons? Or
I have daughters.
Okay, that ring needs to go to your daughters when they get married. I have two sets of my mother's wedding rings. My mother passed away, but that's what I have to remember her by.
You know why? Right. Why do you want to pass down something to your daughter that symbolizes a marriage that didn't work out?
Well, I mean, I have wedding rings from my mother from when she divorced my father when I was 18 months old, but that's a part of my mother. It's a part of her.
And regardless, those are your parents, whether they work out or not.
Exactly.
That's your mom and dad.
And she was married to my dad, and even though they divorced when I was 18 months old, that's the only thing I have of when they were together. And
yeah, maybe, I believe you too know, much in karma. There's bad germs on there.
You think there's bad relationship contagious?
Yeah.
No, I understand, because that will be very meaningful to the children, because you do want to know that you came from something that at one time was special.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Donna, good morning.
Good morning. This may sound kind of crass, but I'm kind of curious, what's the value of the ring?
Probably about $200.
$200?
$200, okay. I had a total different feedback for you, but if the ring is worth about $200, I would go ahead, get it in writing, give him the ring, and then about 3 months from now, make sure she knows that that came from you.
Maybe she'll give it back, and then you get the debt paid off and the ring back.
Right.
Well, I think if your children want the ring, I do agree with Kim that if the children want the ring, you shouldn't give it to him. But if he's willing to sign off $1,300 and give you the money back you've already paid him for a $200 ring, give him back the ring and get it in writing.
Morning. Or maybe, like what he said, how he just wanted the diamond, maybe you keep the ring for the symbolic nature of it, and maybe you replace the diamond.
Because there was the actual engagement ring, and then in the band was like little tiny baguettes.
Well,
so
I agree.
Don't know if he's wanting to take out, because his story is changing, so I don't know if he wants to take out just that one diamond, or take out the whole thing, or, you know... I don't know.
I think that's a fantastic suggestion from Jen, because that way you have the band to give to your daughter. By the time she gets old enough, you'll be able to replace the diamond.
Hey, Cindy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I'm confused. I'm wondering why it is that as a parent of two young children and their ages 4 and 5, if she's the custodial parent, why she even owes him child support at all? I mean, if they're living with her, why wouldn't he be paying her child support? I don't understand that part.
Well, she explained earlier that he did pay, but he was paying her, and he overpaid. So what she's doing is she's paying him back.
I see. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
And good morning. You're on All the Hits Q100. Hi.
Hi. My name is Christina. I just got recently divorced, like, not even a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her not to give that ring. That has nothing to do with what she owes him. That makes no sense. That's just... stupid.
Well, she wants to get out of that financial rock that she's under right now. Is she thinking this is the only way to do it?
No, that's not the only... I've been in financial rock with my ex-husband, and he, in a way, still loves her. The only reason he went back to her to tell her, give me the ring back, is because he wants a reaction from her. That is all. That makes no sense.
So why not
That ring has nothing to do with what she owes him. That's money and a ring. That's a symbol of what they had in the past.
But why keep that? Like, why? I don't understand. Why keep a symbol of something that ended badly, especially when you have pictures and wedding books and, you know, all that stuff and, like,
I think for the kids. I
see why would you want to pass down something to the kids that ended, even though
it means differently for the kids.
It
means differently. If I came from divorced parents, again, those I can't. They're my parents. It doesn't matter how the marriage ended. Those are still my parents. And I think a symbol of their union together that brought me into this world would mean something, regardless of how it ended, you know?
Chad with a suggestion. Hey, Chad.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, most guys aren't real smart. She could go spend a few $100 on a center stone, give it to him, tell him she had to take him out of her set, and keep the ring. Boy, you never know.
That's probably way true right there.
Could be.
That's probably
really smart.
Way true, yep.
I know.
Well, I was actually thinking about going to... ball machine and getting one out of there.
He wouldn't know.
The bubblegum machine.
He wouldn't know.
Now, this sounds a little weird, but isn't it? Does it strike anybody else as strange that he wants this money back, like overpaying for his kids?
The whole thing is strange.
Well, yeah, the whole thing is strange, but like it's $1,300 that he's given her for his children.
His own kids, right.
The fact that you owe that back to him strikes me as a little weird in the first place.
I guess I didn't even think
about
that.
For your kids.
No, that's not, but his thing is he probably...
Like, does he stop paying child support at a certain age or something? Like, they're still young kids.
Yeah,
he's supposed to stop paying child support at the age of 18. He's got another 14 years to pay.
Yeah. So can't this just apply towards future months? I'm confused. I'm confused about you owing back his money that he's using to pay for your kids.
Well, he doesn't see it that way, because he sees it as that little bit of extra money that I have is going to my wild parties and all the drinking that I go and have and these wild vacations I take, that it's not being spent on shoes for school, another pair of jeans, book bags, you know.
Well, what is the
jackets?
I mean, because this is the part of the divorce is all the emotion that's involved in it. What, explain again your legal obligation to pay him back. Is there one?
Actually, between him and I, because I have called the child enforcement people, they said, okay, well, it was written down in our divorce agreement that he would pay me back this certain amount at this certain amount per week. And then after that, it just says after that debt is paid off, then it stops. And it didn't, but they said we should handle it between ourselves. That is between him and I. Now, we can't. Now, he went to an attorney, and the attorney said, well, you know, we could sue her for that money back, but he said it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to cost her a lot of money to go to court. He said, I think you just need to call her and see if you guys can work something out.
All right, let me take one more call for you here, Michelle. Good morning, Lorena. You're on All the Hits Q100.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guess what? If he made you a payment and he didn't keep track of it, and he's giving you money, that's a gift, and he can't legally take it from you. So let him take you to court. It'll cost $2,700 for him to get a lawyer and get you into court.
Which he's probably not going to do anyway, and he won't follow through on.
Oh, it wouldn't be financially worth it unless he was just vindictive. Plus, if he gets into a court and he says, I overpaid her and I did this and that, and they're going to say, you're vindictive.
What a mess. I wish there were times in your life where you could, like, TiVo back and just see it all over again, because I would love to hear the conversation when he asked you to get the ring, to take the ring back and use it on his younger girlfriend.
Well, Michelle's not, I mean, listen to what Michelle said. Like, she gave him advice on his relationships with these younger women. Like, she's not letting it go. Yeah. So, I mean, she's considering it, and she probably, I don't know. I just feel like Michelle's not being strong enough in it. Like, I know this is the father of your kids, but I'm shocked that you're even entertaining the thought. Absolutely.
It's the money issue. That's what got me. It's the money issue. If he is willing to write off all of that money, I'm willing to say, here, have it.
All I can say is most people are calling up saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm on the other side.
You think the ring shouldn't have any sentimental value anyway?
It's kind of tainted.
I like the idea that Jen suggested. First of all, in writing, whatever you do, Michelle, don't cave in
right. And
be, oh, well, I've been married 7 years. He's my friend, blah, 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 blah. Writing, put whatever agreement you have in writing. But yeah, take the stone, you know, keep the ring, give him the stone.
Yeah.
Put that in writing.
Or yeah. I like Chad's idea. Go out and buy yourself another stone, give it to him. He'll never know the difference. The dude will never know the difference.
He won't.
Never. All right, Michelle, we've got all your info. We got to follow up with you. When are you going to make this decision?
Well, he's got them this coming weekend, so I need to make a phone call here in the next couple of days.
Well, let's talk to you over the next couple of days, find out what you did, because I know we'll get email on it.
Okay.
All right. Do your best to keep your kids out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, I have.
Good luck, Michelle.
Thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Get it. The Burt Show.
How are you, Dina?
I'm great.
What's going on?
Oh, not much. I've been getting some business.
Have you?
Uh-huh.
Now, good. The story here, because, I mean, the last time we had you on was a little later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know your history and what you do and what you're trying to do now, kind of give them, like, a whole recap.
Okay. Let's see. Years ago, somebody cast Malach on me, which is an Italian spell. And all this crap started happening.
Okay, I don't think you brought this up last time. Yeah. This is a whole new chapter here.
I don't recall the discussion about witchcraft.
Yeah, let's all sit down. This may take a while. All
you
right.
You had an Italian curse placed upon you.
Yes.
What?
Yes. And my aunt that knew how to remove it, she passed away.
Were you chewing on leaves or something?
He's out in the desert smoking peyote.
Yeah, right.
She drank Bert's coffee. That's what happened.
Hey, this is what my mother told me, okay?
By the way, you guys, I forgot to tell you the other week, I gave birth. Sorry that didn't come up, but I delivered twins. They were conjoined.
Now, the argument or the confrontation between you and somebody else that brought on this spell... you got to give us a little description of what was going on there.
Okay. Any halfway successful Italian girl is in danger of the malach, according to my mother.
The malach.
Right. And you wear your Italian horn to protect yourself, but mine broke, and she thinks that's when it happened. And then one thing led to another, and this happened, that happened, anybody that knew me. And so that's when I started getting therapy. Don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid. I'm just thinking. So Italian women who are successful always have to be paranoid because somebody who is jealous is going to throw a malach on them.
Exactly.
Unless they wear their horn.
Throw a malach into the plants like a wrench.
Exactly.
So malach is an Italian wrench.
Trying to keep the woman down.
Are you the Italian woman
the
down?
The Italian woman down.
You sure this isn't some tale that your mom made up just to, like as you were a kid and just never got around to telling you she was just...
Well,
joking with you?
Maybe, but she sat all of my sisters down. They put water over our heads on a blue plate, and I'm not kidding, and put a needle, and the needle stayed still for all of my sisters, and for me, it started twirling around in a circle. It's crazy.
What is that? That's supposed to determine whether you have a curse?
I guess.
Or do we need to bring
blue plates in here with needles over our heads?
Do you guys want her to come in and do it on you? And
yeah.
Say,
oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, wait till you put it over Melissa's head.
Yeah, the needle will fly out the bowl.
Does she have, like, Parkinson's or anything that's going to jack up that needle?
You know, Jen.
No. But none of us are Italian.
Is it only an Italian
they
thing?
They say it's only Italian.
Yeah, Tracy Paluso. Well, her needle will alphabetize itself and climb into a fire.
Right. Exactly. I think she has it. Okay. I think that's the curse.
So to back up again, your malach gets busted. All of a sudden, you're cursed.
Right.
Okay. No, she gets the malach. Right? That's the curse, right?
Yeah. Okay. I went from totally successful... Everybody loves me to having my first child at 30 weeks. Then I told you about the drug addict husband, that whole thing. Right. Then my son being diagnosed with the boy and the plastic bubble disease, us moving here because of that. Then after 10 years of blood transfusions, then they tell us, no, we never had it. I mean, I could go on and on.
I don't recall the point of you having a boy in a bubble.
Yeah. Did I remember? Yeah. And then he didn't have it.
He doesn't have it. No, and I'm... You guys are thinking I'm crazy. I'm not.
But I just
have documentation to back it up. Did you make him live in a bubble for years?
No, that's the name of the disease. It's gamma globulin G deficiency.
Dude, the John Travolta TV movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Did you make him live in a giant bubble?
No, we didn't. But every 3 weeks, seriously, he had to have blood transfusions.
Oh, no. And then he didn't have it.
And he doesn't have it.
Well, I mean, I'm glad he didn't have it.
Yeah, I am too.
Okay. What do you do with the bubble? Does it go on eBay or?
No, he didn't have a bubble, but he had to be very careful of things. I mean, I'm serious, Jeff.
God. Yeah, I believe
you're so insensitive.
Okay. And you track all this back to when?
The malach.
Mm-hmm. It all started at the malach.
That's what they say.
Who put the malach on you?
I better not say.
Oh,
could it put another one
it
on
be
you?
Somebody that's listening?
Okay, well, no, she's in Ohio. It's probably my cousin Sherry.
Your what? Cousin put the malach on you?
Why would she do that?
It's a long story.
Oh, come on.
I didn't sleep with her husband or anything. It was nothing like that.
Oh, no. You slept with her husband.
Is that what you did?
No.
But she thinks you did.
How long ago did she put the malach on you?
I was about 19.
You can't tell us that you had a malach put on you and your kid lived in a bubble and had to get blood transfusions and then not tell us what you did to your cousin to earn the malach.
She's just very, very jealous of me. I don't know what else to say. She just is. She was born and then I was born and then... No one cared about her.
You ever thought about doing a singing telegram to her?
There's not a lot of words that rhyme with malach.
All right, so let's fast forward. Boy, there's a lot of different layers we're going to have to uncover with you. All right, so we fast forward now. You're in this job that you're not digging so much.
Right.
Even like insulting the boss, and he's still not firing you.
Right.
And he was listening the last time you were on, and you still have that job?
Well, some of the patients were listening and told him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just really quickly.
You said this is a dentist with a jacked up grill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Forgot about that.
I don't mean to go back to the malach or anything, but you had mentioned that a grandmother who knew how to get rid of it died.
My Aunt Tootsie.
Or aunt. Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you get rid
of it?
So
did you get rid of it?
No.
So it's still on you?
I think. It's better. It's much better.
It gets better? Like
well,
it's sick
I think it's
and it
better
gets better?
Because like I just laugh about everything. Mm-hmm. Nothing upsets me. I have more. There's another layer. My son was in the hospital, extremely sick. I'm on my way to see him. I find a dead body on South Cobb Drive in a bush, and I'm not kidding, and it's a homeless guy, and the police come. I have to call three different 911s. Okay, they connect me. They didn't care. They come and get him. They haul him away. I get to the hospital. They say, oh, my gosh, where were you? And I said, oh, I found a dead body. Totally unaffected because I'm used to it.
Well, did you know the guy, the homeless guy?
No, but I felt like I should go to his funeral. I mean, I don't even think they did anything for him. Oh. It was really sad.
I think we're just like building the case here. Like after the malach is put on you, it's like one thing after the other.
Do you think it got better because you helped the guy?
I think that my attitude towards it just makes it better. Like nothing really fazes me anymore.
Okay. So you've
been numb.
You've embraced the malach.
Exactly.
Find love in the malach.
Please don't think I'm crazy. I have all kinds of normal friends and I have a normal family and my kids are really well. Really normal.
I really feel like I was dating this really, really cool chick, and now I'm starting to find some really weird things out about her. And I'm like, this isn't what I thought it was.
I am fascinated. I feel like I'm hanging out with a girlfriend who just revealed to me this whole new side of her.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're not going to let... Do you have to be anywhere early this morning, or can we talk more about the malach and the curse after 7?
Yeah, we can. I mean, I have to be at work, but I put my notice in yesterday, and he begged me just to work 2 days a week, so I'm going to, so I'm good.
You pretty much have hand in that office now, if you already know. If he knows you're taking off, he's begging you to stay.
Plus now he knows that you can put a malach on.
Right. Well, I haven't mentioned that to him.
Maybe she could malach his jacked up grill.
Exactly.
Maybe that's
like
a problem.
Somebody's already done it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well, I think that's a new ABC show, Extreme Malach, your jacked up grill. Malach your grill.
Kathy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys.
All right, now, although we got a little bit off track here, Dina now is trying to start her own singing Telegram business, and we're trying to help her launch that. And you said over the last couple of weeks, you got a couple of calls, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So people are starting to hire you as a singing Telegram.
Oh, yeah.
And the name of the business?
Poetic Justice.
Right.
When you found the dead body, did you sing anything to him?
No. I was really upset I touched him.
Ooh.
Did you? I can't do that with anything dead.
I wasn't sure. Well, I wasn't sure.
With a stick? With a stick? Or
no, like... with my hand.
Mm. I've never seen a dead person.
Really?
What? Never?
I've never seen a dead person.
You should hang out with Dina for a while.
Apparently
they're all over the place.
Apparently we should go shopping.
So Dina starts this new business, and we make the same offer to you guys that if you want to hire Dina, if we do it on the radio, we'll do this for free for you. So, and it could be for anything.
Right.
If you want a malach removed, she'll do a singing Telegram for that.
Right.
If you want to tell somebody in your life that you love them, we'll do that for you. If you want to tell somebody in your life that's done you wrong that you hate them, we'll do that for you. Singing Telegram can be for anything, right?
Exactly. Over the past couple days, I did a happy anniversary, a happy birthday, and my next one is going to be this woman that wants to tell her boyfriend that she's attracted to his brother. I tried to talk her out of it, but she said he cheated on her. So
then I was like, okay. You don't want to talk somebody out of that. You want to talk them into it and doing it on the radio.
I know, but I have two boys, and I felt really bad. I mean, that's life-altering. But, you know, he cheated on her.
Exactly. Gets what he deserves.
That's right.
We doing that one on Friday?
I'd love to.
Oh, I mean, okay. She keeps calling me from a private number. She's supposed to call me back today. Well, if she hears, hey, if she's listening, she knows she doesn't have to come up with the cash.
Right, there you go. We'll do it for free if you do it on the radio.
Okay.
Now, Kathy, your circumstance with your husband isn't nearly as serious as infidelity.
Correct.
But it's still driving you crazy.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, what's going on?
Okay, we are going on our third year of marriage. And, you know, every couple has the normal fights, but lately he has been hitting the snooze alarm way too many times. When we first got married, the alarm clock was on my side of the room, so I had to constantly hit it. And then we upgraded our cell phones, and we're using the alarm clock function. And every time he turns it off, it goes off every 5 minutes, from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. He gets up at 6, and I get up at 7, and maybe sleep until 7:30. This has been going on for quite some time.
So he's waking you up every 5 minutes.
Exactly, and I could use that extra 1 hour of sleep every morning.
That's very valuable. We understand that.
So in conversations that you've had with him where you're like, hey, we got to do something about the snooze problem here, what does he say?
I don't think he took me seriously because I always try to be funny about it or joke around about it. And then the other night I finally sat down and said, hey, we need to do something. And so we fixed his alarm clock where it goes off every 20 minutes. So he can just turn it off, and then it comes. Then the next alarm comes on at 20 minutes instead of turning it off every 5 minutes. So he's done well for Monday, and then today, of course, he's sleeping in because we're having a repair guy coming in at 10.
This is the kind of thing that is real small when you first get married, you know, but then as time moves on, that snooze that was acceptable because you're so in love in the beginning just becomes louder and louder and louder the longer you get married.
Oh, yes, it's so irritating. Sometimes I just want to kick him out of bed.
Agreed. Is there anything here I'm not asking before we wake him up and do our singing telegram?
Do you think he'll be able to sort of come to and comprehend what's going on?
I don't know. He listens to a station like one notch up the dial. Uh-huh. So he's, I don't know, I always talk about you guys, and he just rolls his eyes.
Well, and
so we'll see.
And I know he's sleeping late for the main, whatever. But, you know, it just to me, it's just, you know, you've been woken up so many times, it's time for him to have to wake up and force himself up this morning.
I agree.
All right, let's do this.
All righty, so let me walk back here.
I mean, because he certainly, at very best, is being thoughtless.
Of course.
And sensitive.
And we
about
hate
it.
Men who are like that.
Uh-huh.
Thoughtless and married.
Hang on.
Bastards.
Hey, honey. Shane. Can you do me a favor? Can you talk to some
what's
friends?
What's his name?
Shane.
No.
Shane.
Hang on a second.
Uh-huh.
I heard him say no.
No.
Shane.
Go away.
Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to shake him up a little bit.
Yeah, hang on.
No. No. Go away.
But put the phone up to his ear.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Here we go.
Set
the phone on his head.
Shane. Shane.
Hang on.
We just...
Shane.
Yeah.
Shane.
What?
Hey, Shane. How are you? Listen, I have a gift for you. It's from your wife, Kathy.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. You listening? This was with all the love and respect. Okay? You ready?
Yeah.
Hey, Shane, okay. Before we go on, we just need to tell you that you're on the radio right now.
All right.
All right.
All right. The clock is set for 6 a.m. Oh, every day now. Then you push the snooze and go back to dreaming, and that's not okay now. With the beeping and the buzzing louder, faster, till she's wide awake now. And then you snooze, snooze, snooze till Mr. Sandman runs away. Now you know she loves you, honey, but the crap's gonna hit the fan now. If you don't get your ass up and finish, let her finish her beauty sleep now. Your happiness in bed can go a real bad way for you now. 'Cause she will snooze, snooze, snooze next time you try to get some play.
Well done.
Got it, Shane.
All right, Shane, you know where we're going with this?
Oh, hang on.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah.
All right, Shane. You see where Kathy's going with this, man? She's a little upset about the snooze, snooze, snooze thing.
That was great, y'all.
He's gone.
Yeah.
You don't want any part of us. All right, hopefully we put an explanation point on this thing for you.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right.
I'm getting ready to leave, so I'm sure he'll call me in the next couple minutes.
Good luck with this, okay?
All right, thank you so much. Y'all have a great day.
You too, Kathy. Okay. All right.
Good job, Dina.
That's a good song. Well done.
Thanks. You're on The Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.